This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here. It's a nice break in this rainy monsoon season we're having in Washington.
Well, it's been pretty nice here this autumn, but definitely is a soggy day today. John, plenty of fireworks, though, on the campaign trail. Of course, we're less than 3 weeks till the midterm elections. We'll get some more of your predictions here in some of the key Senate and other races in just a moment. But let's start with perhaps the biggest political firestorm of the week, and that's the president, David Axelrod, Robert Gibbs, and some others basically accusing Karl Rove, Ed Gillespie, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce of putting up ads in favor of Republican candidates paid for by foreign donations. The likes of Rove, Gillespie, and the Chamber say that's absolutely untrue, and the White House doesn't seem to have any evidence to back up their claim. So what do you make of all this?
I think this is the ultimate proof that the Democratic Party and the Obama administration don't have a political leg to stand on or an issue in which to wage a winning congressional midterm election campaign. So they resort to that old devil of who's behind you, namely, where's the money, honey? Well, I will tell you something. Methinks they doth protest too much, because in the 06 and 08 election cycle, it was Democrats who were using groups such as the 527 groups with unlimited donation and a delayed reporting period until after the voting to wage war rather successfully against Republicans. Yes, I knew a lot of Republicans who complained about it, but there was no law against it. And as for foreign donations, I would respectfully tell Robert Gibbs, Barack Obama, and David Axelrod that since 1907, the Tillman Act has barred any foreign donations from coming into U.S. campaigns. And a fellow by the name of Johnny Chung certainly got caught up in the idea of foreign dollars coming in to help the Clinton re-election, and he paid a price for it. One more thing. As for these groups whose backers we don't know who come out with attack ads, in 04, there was one of those groups that used ads with a photograph of Osama bin Laden to denounce one Howard Dean and rough him up before the Iowa caucuses. Mr. Dean's spokeswoman, Tricia Enright, called on the group to crawl out from under its rock and say who was behind it. Well, they never did until after the election, and all we saw were the words of their spokesman at the time, Mr. Robert Gibbs.
John, let's talk about some of the critical races now around the country. We're less than 3 weeks away from Election Day. Last week, we started off your run of predictions by looking at what would happen in Alaska, Washington State, and Colorado. So let's look at some other bellwether races. Let's start in Pennsylvania, currently held by a Democrat since Arlen Specter switched parties last year. Right now, the polls show that Republican Pat Toomey seems to be leading Congressman Joe Sestak, who defeated Specter in the Democratic primary. But it's a state that traditionally leans a little bit blue. What do you expect to happen November 2nd?
Pat Toomey has united the Republican Party. Joe Sestak had to win a bloody primary over incumbent Senator Arlen Specter. And he is to the left of Obama and Pelosi, as Mr. Toomey reminds voters all the time. Under those circumstances and under the year, I think Toomey will win the Senate seat that narrowly eluded him in 04.
Let's go up to New England, John, and stop in your home state of Connecticut. This is the Chris Dodd seat. He's not seeking re-election. The Attorney General, Dick Blumenthal, was expected to be a shoo-in here, but Republican Linda McMahon has made it closer than most people suspected she would. The polls give Blumenthal an edge of anywhere from inside the margin of error to double digits. What do you expect early next month?
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb. I say that Linda McMahon will become the first Republican to win a Senate seat in 28 years in the nutmeg state of Connecticut. She spent $25 million of her own money. She said, that sounds about right. And in so doing, she has waged trench warfare against someone who held the position he did with such ease over the years that they called him the Eternal General. Put another way, Dick Blumenthal has never had an opponent who hits hard the way Linda McMahon does, and particularly used his statements, which he admits are misleading, about the nature of his service in the U.S. Marine Corps during the Vietnam War. All of this, plus Linda McMahon's strong performance in debates, will lead to her being the Cinderella story of 2010 and be elected to the Senate.
One more Senate race, going even a little bit further north, New Hampshire, Judd Gregg, the three-term Republican, not seeking re-election. It's Kelly Ayotte for the Republicans against Congressman Paul Hodes for the Democrats. Ayotte seems to have a relatively safe lead right now, but it's not exactly insurmountable. She's up by high single digits.
Hodes is to the far left. He belongs right out there with Joe Sestak, beyond Obama and beyond Nancy Pelosi to the port. New Hampshire has changed a lot since I went there for summers as a young boy, but it still has a license plate that says live free or die. And I think in more places than not, there's an Ayotte sticker. She wins easily.
Let's move over to the House now, John, and let's go to the Plains for a couple of important at-large seats. Two Democrats who are considered embattled at this point. Let's start in North Dakota, where longtime Democrat Earl Pomeroy is actually a slight underdog at this point against his Republican opponent. Can the Republicans take that seat?
I spoke today to Connie Nicholas, the Republican National Committee woman from North Dakota, and her husband Gene, a longtime state representative. They were instrumental in helping Rick Berg wrap up the Republican nomination. Rick was a leader in the state legislature in terms of cutting taxes. The party's united, the year is right, and the issues are on his side. I say Berg beats Pomeroy.
How about in South Dakota? There you have the incumbent Democrat, Stephanie Herseth Sandlin. She's considered a moderate Democrat, voted against the health care plan, has been pretty careful with her votes lately, but she's going up against a very popular Republican first-time candidate in Kristi Noem.
Stephanie Herseth's overall record is moderate to liberal. And in fact, she follows in a tradition of her father who ran for governor and her grandfather who was governor. Ms. Noem is a conservative, a farm girl, someone who took over the management of the family farm after she found her father dead. She's got a story to tell, and I believe that she will be a narrow winner.
Let's quickly get a couple of governorships in here, John. Let's start in Ohio. John Kasich, the former congressman, former budget committee chairman, challenging incumbent Democratic Governor Ted Strickland. The polls seem to give Kasich, at least at this time, a slight lead.
It's taxes and spending in Ohio, a microcosm of the nation. John Kasich owns these issues from his record fighting for tax cuts and trying to cut the budget when he was House Budget Committee chairman. My guess is he will win fairly comfortably in Ohio.
And one more on the docket. This one is apparently not very close at this point, but it's interesting because it's a governor against a former governor over in Iowa. It's Chet Culver, who is apparently not very popular anymore, against former very popular Republican Governor Terry Branstad.
Terry Branstad has come out with a very strong agenda for cutting spending and has even suggested bringing Michelle Rhee, the innovative chancellor of the D.C. school system, to Iowa to shape up their system of education. Chet Culver's in at a bad time, and my guess is that Terry Branstad will return to the state capitol in Des Moines, serve out his term for a near record in American history of 20 years as governor of the Hawkeye State.
John, it's going to be fun to watch, and we'll have more predictions over the next couple Thursdays. Thanks so much for being with us.
Reserving my strength to stay up late until the wee hours on November 2nd, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.